sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 112, En chantant mes malheurs. Take one, action. Car j'ai trouvé le bonheur en chantant mes malheurs. Réappris à rire à travers mes pleurs. Mais je réalise que je fais du mal à ceux que j'aime depuis que je bois des verres de mélancolie pour être moins triste. Réappris à vivre en étant sur terre. Retrouver mon cœur après l'avoir eu en pierre. Pour ma famille, je suis chez les mélancoliques anonymes. Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut the Podcast. I am your host, B Black. A.K.A. B. Blizzak, A.K.A. B. Black, A.K.A. Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com, and A.K.A. Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Before I start the show, I want to inform you new listeners. Well, first, welcome. Especially if you clicked on this podcast by mistake. I just want to give you a 411 that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green. And waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Hoosier Bleus up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. Today's date is September 24, 2023. 6:04 p.m. on the Sabbath day. And this episode is also recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. Anishinaabe? Am I pronouncing that right? This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew, and if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Ooh, excuse me. I don't know. Bear with me, folks. I just got back from a walk, and usually the walks gets my cylinders going, but instead it just made me tired. And I'm forcing myself to express emotions or something. But that's not it. All right, doesn't matter. All right, hey, like I said, welcome you listeners, especially you new listeners. Just to give you a quick breakdown, so I like to break down my episodes, my shows, into three parts. Call them acts, if you will. First act is the introduction, which includes the theme song, which I hope you enjoyed, and everything up until now. Second act is news and random thoughts, and last one is final thoughts. Now, in the introduction, I play the theme song, introduce the show, warn listeners about what they're about to get into, especially if you suffer from white fragility. This podcast ain't for you. Another thing I like to do is do shit like happy heavenly birthday to Dave, True Goy Dave. Well, you know him as Dave. I'm actually reading a tweet. From We Are De La Soul. Happy heavenly birthday, Dave. We love you. We miss you.
We are so thankful to have known you. Thank you for being our gift. Oh, man. And, yeah, man.
Everybody's saying what to do when sucker lunatics start digging and chewing. What? They don't know that the soul don't go for that.
Potholes in my lawn. And
that that day from De La Soul. Yeah. And when was his actual birthday? September 21st. He was born on September 21st, 1968. We lost him on February 12th this year. Another happy birthday I want to send out is to George R.R. Martin. He's 75 years old. Damn, 75. Born on September 20th, 1948. You know, I was thinking about, I'm 48 right now, and I'm trying to... I have this thing where I don't want to retire from my current job. And I, and let's just say I'm trying to plant seeds for the next 20. That's a lie. That's a lie. I'm trying to get myself to plant seeds in the next 20 years. I'm trying to believe there's going to be such a thing as a 20 year. Oh my God. Let's just say hearing that George R. R. Martin, the author of Game of Thrones, if you don't know, I'm a fan of the dude, man. I'm a fan of the guy and, of his work. And, yeah, happy 75 years old. Happy 75th birthday, man. I can't, yeah, you know what? I'm going to end it with that. This is a bit of history that's also in the, for the introduction is, September 20th, 1958. And there's a, basically an assassination around that time. Martin Luther King was in a hospital after an assassination attempt. Links in the show notes. Shout out to the good people of African and Black History, African Archive on Twitter, supplying all this useful information. Yeah, man, just felt the need to share with y'all. Last but not least, I want to share a quote from, shout out to you fans of The Sopranos, especially you Black fans of The Sopranos. I like to think that we're a minority here. Hold on a second. I don't know if you heard that. That was the air filter in the background, so I just turned it off. If I start coughing, it's because, like I said, I turned off the air filter. Yeah, where was I? Yes, I want to share a quote by from The Sopranos, the TV show, and by the character, what's his name again? Sorry, as I'm trying to get my notes in order. Carmine Lupertazzi. And... it's a simple quote. It goes, why fuck around? Be a better friend to yourself. I thought that was deep, man. I thought that was deep. That's right. Taking advice from a mob boss or fictitious mob boss. And that's the introduction, folks. Let's jump to the meat of this episode. News and random thoughts. And yeah, go with the flow. All right. All right. All right. We're doing this. All right. Let's go. Yeah. Hold on a second. Like I said, I just got back from a walk. And I'm a fat dude, and it takes a lot out of me. Well, not usually. Oh, yeah. I'm trying to get this episode, bang out this episode, because I got to write two letters. Maybe I'll explain in the next episode what these two letters were about. But, yeah, my point is I have some homework to do, all right? Homework. All right, so let's do this. I'm going to play this again because the sound was kind of low. So here we go. There we go. And also, I like that sound. That's my way of saying next act. All right. First, I want to start with a rant. Rant. And bad faith conversations. And more like one specific type is people who start conversation with, I don't understand when people use the word I don't understand to actually say I hate as a way to substitute as another way to say I hate blah 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 blah. So though for an example will be I don't understand people who don't wear socks. What they really want to say is I hate people who don't wear socks. Or a recent one is I don't understand people who pay for porn. It's just a way to dismiss whatever everything after the word I don't understand. And the reason what I mean by bad faith conversation is because I'm naive enough to be like, oh, you're looking for information. So let me see if I can help you brainstorm. Maybe there's this, maybe it's that. And then they just dismiss everything you say, all by responses. And in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, let me just help them find another example. Not realizing that, no, they had, this person has already made their mind up. So I'm saying I hate bad faith conversation. I think what I'm really want to say is I hate when I fall for the trap of bad faith conversation. And I bring this up because I was hanging out with a friend not too long ago. And I don't know. We found ourselves talking about Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. And I didn't think it much through it. I just said, I remember saying, you know, I'm not a fan of Jeff Bezos or that person. For me, it's the biggest thing is, I guess I'm not riding their dick. For me, it's, my biggest thing is, they're two white men who succeeded in a system designed for them to succeed. If it wasn't those two, it'd be another white man. And like at the core of what I was trying to, anyways, doesn't matter, but I get a sense that I must have, ruffled some feather with the person because they pushed back. They say, oh, why don't you like the person? And I say, you know, I don't know. I didn't really give a thought. It's like, it's a feeling. I remember not having a thought, and everything that would come out of my mouth, it would just, that person would dismiss it. And I was trying to say, okay, maybe you know something I don't. Why are you a fan of? The person avoided answering that question. And then they played, they like, no, keep trying, keep finding more reasons for me to dismiss. And I only bring this up because it annoyed the fuck out of me in that moment. Well, in that moment, I remember just wondering what the fuck is going on. I'm thinking we're having a friendly conversation. It's only after that I realized that I guess I'm getting better at detecting bad faith conversation, that I'm realizing, oh, this is a bad faith conversation. So I did my best to eject out of it. And I bring this up because after the whole thing, after that whole exchange, when I'm driving at home, the conversation played in my head. And I remember just being fucking annoyed. At first I was like, maybe I should have said this, maybe I should have said that. Or I started questioning my own opinion. But that's when I realized, nah, you were in a bad faith conversation. And I hadn't been in a bad faith conversation in a while. And I guess that's why I just bring it up. Long story short, I hate bad faith conversation. If you want to get on my bad side, if you want me to suspect, I don't know. Is there ever a good time to have a bad faith conversation? Actually, I could have Googled it. But, you know, I'm just going to end it here. End rant. Bad faith conversation. End of rant. All right. Next on the docket. Oh, right. Every time I post an episode, I have this application, this plugin called Yoast. Like toast, rhymes with toast, I guess. Yoast. Anyways, and it's podcast SEO. Okay, I'm going to throw letters that I don't know what. Okay, SEO means search engine optimization. I know what that means. But I guess Yoast is a search engine optimization tool. And I try to write like a quick summary about the episode, and it keeps telling me, yeah, it sucks. I'll tell you what, if you pay for the premium package, oh my God, I'm getting all over the place. Yeah, okay. If you pay for the premium package, we'll explain why your entry sucks. So I Googled it, but you know what? That's not even the fucking point that I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to get at is this setup is just to explain how I landed on an article called Podcast SEO, How to make your podcast rank. And in that article below, it lists podcasts top five places to listen to podcasts are. And this list actually caught me off guard. back in my days, it must have been what? Like in the early edition, the Old Testament edition of Shut Up Podcast, Apple ran things. Apple was the main motherfuckers when it came to podcasts. Spotify wasn't even a blip on the radar. Fast forward to now, according to this article printed, published, hold on, is there a date on here? There's no date. Yeah, September 23rd, 2022. According to this, these are the top five, all right? Number one, YouTube. I'm not on YouTube. Actually, I got an account on YouTube, but I'm not there. Number two, Spotify. I'm boycotting Spotify. Yes, all over the whole Joe Rogan shit. Anyway, it doesn't matter, all right? Number two is Spotify. Number three, Apple Podcasts. Apple Podcasts got knocked down to third place? What the fuck are they doing? Holy, and whatever. Guess what? Listen, the guy who died, whatever. Apple Podcasts is number two, number three. Four is Amazon Music. Hey, I'm on Amazon Music. And number five is iHeartRadio. The six to the 10th most popular places to listen to podcasts. Facebook, I would have never imagined Facebook. Pandora, we don't have that in Canada. Instagram, how you going to listen to it? Do they mean advertise your podcast? You don't listen to podcasts on Instagram. You put clips, whatever. Oh my God. Number nine is Google Podcasts, and smack dab at number 10 is Audible. Smack dab. Better than nothing. And then the top 11 to 20 podcast listening is the podcast owns website, 18%. All right. SoundCloud. Yeah, I used to be on SoundCloud. NPR One, the podcast. Okay, you know where I'm going with all this? It's the realization that I don't stand a chance. The odds are stacked against me in finding listeners for this podcast. If you're listening to this podcast, consider yourself a rare gem. You can put that as what makes you unique. You listen to this podcast. Okay. Yeah, the odds, it's the realization the odds are stacked against me. And, right, okay. I wrote this little note for myself. I just had this observation while watching a movie. Actually, I'm watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, the latest one, the cartoon, yes, on Nickelodeon. And there was a scene, they were showing how the origin stories of the turtles, right? And that scene reminded me of how much I've watched so much TV that I found myself believing in the improbable. Like, it's always in the movie, something unrealistic will happen in the movie, and it will. Like, for example, the turtles were created because the guy who created the potion, the serum, whatever, to turn animals into human-like conditions. Well, that person just accidentally was killed, and then he drops the serum in what do you call those things? The sewer. Drops it in the sewer, and then four turtles just happen to lick it, and then, you know, it's just like, in reality, shit like that doesn't happen. It's very improbable. Then again, when you think about the creation of Earth, statistically, that shit was a lot of improbable statistics for Earth to happen, but doesn't matter. Where I'm going with this is, the whole point to my story is, I think, statistically, I fucked myself. But I think I was kind of relying on miracle. I was depending on a miracle to find my target audience. Like, I don't advertise. My intention is to probably maybe advertise going on other people's podcasts or figure out my target audience and figure out my target, understand my target audience, and then make myself known in those circles. That was my unofficial strategy. But in terms of people who listen to podcasts, what I'm doing right now is, based on this article, is, yeah, the odds are against me in me growing my audience. I mean, better late than never, I guess. Realizing this shit better late than never. Information is power. So all this to say, I may have to change my views about Spotify. Remember when that whole thing happened with Joe Rogan, the N-word popped out, and there was this big trend in uninstalling Spotify? I joined that trend, thinking that we were going to take down a kingdom, we're going to bring that Rome. Nah, fuck, they still survived. People are still talking about Spotify. Yeah, I went from Spotify to Tidal, and now I'm with YouTube Music. Tidal was good, but it got to a certain part where their play stopped working, and it just got annoying. I'm like, yo, out of all the things that need to work on my phone is the fucking music delivery. Don't make me go back to using my Walkman. Yeah, when your music device, when your music player makes me miss my CD player, then your application sucks. Anyways, all this to say, this whole segment is just to say that I may have to reconsider Spotify. I think part of the reasoning, which I can understand, part of the reasoning is not in not getting rid of Joe Rogan is we want to encourage free thinking, even if it's idiot thinking. Idiots are entitled to their space. Dumb people are entitled to their space. Joe Rogan is entitled to say some bullshit, some irresponsible shit, and make money off. If he can make an audience off of it, that's... I'm trying to make sense out of nonsense. But I get the feeling that Spotify's position in not getting rid of Joe Rogan has something to do with... It could have been just dollars. Like, yo, this motherfucker brings in an audience. Fuck that. What are we, suckers? Yeah. I don't know. Like, I've always known the internet was going to be an area for free thought. It's not like going to be like television where one way of thinking, one worldview, one acceptable worldview. I've always known there was going to be shitty people on the internet. Except when I thought of shitty people, I wasn't thinking of back then, when the internet was the first thing, when I thought of shitty people, I was thinking of, you know, racist, Klan man. I knew they were going to have their area. And the thing is, I get it. It's like that sign of, I may not agree with what you say, but I'll fight for your right to be able to say it. I get that. Because I know that we don't all, every human being has their own unique way of thinking. I understand that. But, just like this podcast, I can control who gets a voice and who doesn't. Spotify could do that, but I don't know. I guess it's how you define podcasting. Like, what do you mean when you say that? I don't know what their policy is. I don't know what their policy is. All I know is I believe their reasoning into not dropping Joe Rogan had something to do with, hey, everyone deserves a voice or some shit like that. Even Hitler. Okay, I'm exaggerating. Okay, Joe Rogan's not a Hitler, but he is a fucking idiot. He is an idiot. He is an idiot. And I've said his name a little too much. But anyways, I don't know. Who knows? We'll see where this goes, man. Who knows? Maybe I'll change my tune about Spotify. And or maybe I'll just continue on the same course that I am. And I'm not trying to be... I mean, as much as I would love to be a popular podcast... As much as I would love to be a popular podcast, I want to be... As much as I would like to be a popular podcast... I would like to have a core audience that I know understands what I'm doing. And I don't have to like, I don't want to treat my audience like the girl I'm trying to fuck. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? It's like, no, I just want to feel free. It's an experiment that I'm making. I want to feel free doing me. And if someone is like, hey, man, I'm on the same page. I get it. I'm with you. Then that's what I'm going after. Because I've always grown up feeling like my view of the world were unique. Unique as I've always grown up feeling like alone in my way of thinking. Not that I'm crazy or anything like that. But I've been good at hiding my true self and being more accommodating and just going with other people's flow. Which I'll get to that in final thought. At some point. Yeah. Again, as much as I would love to be a popular podcast, as much as I would love to monetize this shit, I don't want this podcast to be like my job is. At my job, I'm whatever these crackers want me to be. These white folks want me to be. Want me to deliver? All right, whatever. Keep my politics to myself? Fine. But this podcast, I got to be able to be free. Anyways, this is just an ongoing struggle with me in this podcast and figuring out what do I mean by growth. Anyways, I got to put that on the agenda, which actually brings back to the letter I got to write after these to my homework later. All right. Next. Okay, so next on the agenda is I was debating giving attention to this. Okay, the true face of indoctrination. Hold on, I'm going to play this. This is... hold on a second. Okay, you can't see this. Stitch incoming. This is from Tizzy Ant. Every time I say his name, I think of Titty Ant, but that's not the point. Right, so there was a, in Canada, for up Canada, there was like a protest against LGBTQ plus community. Actually, I think it's more about the curriculum. A bunch of religious parents are pissed off that, hey, you're teaching my kids that trans people exist? Fuck that, man. Nah, I want them to be, keep that shit up. Anyways, they labeled it as the Million March for Children. Million March for Children, and they labeled it as a multi-faith. Basically, it's the one time Christians and Muslims have decided to get together. Anyways, there's a video circling around of this kid saying some homophobic shit, like gay people are disgusting, whatever. I'm not going to play the clip. It's circulating. It's going viral. You could just Google, as soon as you Google protests, transphobic protests or something like that in Canada, the clip will show up. And I was looking at that clip. I meant to write that. I was looking at that clip. I was thinking of that kid, right? And it reminded me of all the times that in growing up in church and how my parents didn't understand, not just my parents, but the adults, because you're a kid, right? They didn't understand the concept of, well, if they did, they didn't show it, but the concept of how kids grow up seeking their parents' approval. And, Haitians don't believe in that shit, man. They just, they spend most of their time, I think it's their way of keeping your spirits up and making sure that you don't rest on your laurels, but it's constantly is, they keep you guessing. Watching that kid saying that homophobic shit just reminded me of the hacks or the, if I wanted my parents' approval, if I wanted them to express approval, I just do shit like, I love Jesus in front of the church. Play at the recital. Oh, that would make them so happy. That's how you would do it. And I was just thinking of when that kid did that shit, how he might grow up. Well, first of all, yeah, how that kid would, how he's going to grow up. He's likely to grow up, statistically speaking. Grow up. I would not be surprised if he associates the approval he got from his parents from saying that horrific shit, and he links that to homophobia. Like, if you try to use rational thought against homophobia, when this kid grows up, if you try to use rational thought, he's not going to be thinking about it. He's going to hold on. He might associate that to that moment his parents said, good boy, good boy, you did the right thing. No beatings for today. I think when you think of the homophobics, the racists, these people, and when they hold on to old belief, sometimes it's an emotional reason. Sometimes it's just that. It's like I was thinking of these white kids who hold on to Confederate flags. And it had me wondering, maybe if I was one of those kids, I would have associated that Confederate flag to growing up, to maybe to Christmas. And now I'm an adult, and I'm oblivious of the pain it's causing. Oh, I'm thinking about how, no, that Confederate flag reminds me of when I was a teenager and my grandpappy loved me, whatever, some shit like that. I don't know. I guess I'm just saying how it's a reminder of human beings are an emotional creature. We like to pretend like we're all fully rational, but the truth is, I guess what I'm trying to say is, this kid, I don't know, maybe there's hope for this, whatever. Statistically speaking, there's no hope for that kid. His parents sent him on a path to be a deplorable human being, but whatever, who knows? He might grow out of it. God forbid he hits puberty and finds himself more attracted to the male anatomy than he is to the female anatomy. So, wait a minute. I'm into that gay shit. Fuck that. Repress it. Yeah, I'm just thinking on how that kid might grow up being stubborn about his homophobia. And the reason is because he remembers that moment where his parents were proud of him being on stage, yelling that homophobic shit, and all these people around were applauding him. It's like, yeah. Who knows? Or maybe he's going to grow up, be an adult who's going to regret that moment and resent his parents for that moment. Who knows? Whatever. All I know is what happened is with some fucking unfortunate shit. And his parents, that kid's parents did them no favor. But human beings, man. Human beings. All right. Yeah, let's get warm in here. What else I got in here? I got, right. Man, okay. It's not that. Okay, so I'm going to play. To introduce this next topic, I'm going to play this TikTok clip by the happy urbanist. And
the American mind cannot comprehend what's...
Okay, all right. So I'm kind of hoping you'll understand what's going on, but it's just a dude is walking through Spain, and he's going to walk through a park, and he's explaining the situation. You know what? I'll let him do the talking. So here we go.
What's going on around me? This isn't a party. It's not even a planned event. It's just what happens every afternoon here in Barcelona, Spain. After school and work, people come out to squares like this to hang out, get work done while their kids play with friends, socialize, interact with acquaintances or true friends and neighbors, and there's a huge social and economic benefit to that. Now, the square I was at is right here behind me, but just a block away through that passageway is another square. Like, let's go there. Now, why is this significant? Raj Chetty, a professor at Harvard, published a study showing that the number one indicator for whether or not someone will break out of poverty is something he calls economic connectedness, or relationships with people in different social classes other than their poor social class. And this is something that I found to be personally true. Like, it was my rich friend's parents who asked me about the SATs and whether or not I was studying for them, or what college I thought I was going to, and helped me become more future-oriented. Now, in America, we have a loneliness epidemic, and part of it is due to our built environment. You see, these public squares are an example of what some people call third places. They're not work, your first place, they're not home, your second place, but they're a third place where you interact with acquaintances and friends. In America, these third places are dwindling as religion and church is having less a significant impact in Americans' lives, but also third places are disappearing because of zoning laws, which keep separating the different types of activity that you have in a city to the point of every activity has to be intentionally planned. And what third places we do have in America, things like coffee shops or bars and cafes. They're paid third places that just aren't very accessible for people who are poor, at least on a regular basis. Right. But it's this economic connectedness that could be one of the best things to help alleviate poverty, all without requiring government programs. Now, why does it happen here in Spain? Well, of course, there's a culture for it, but more than that, there's an environment that's conducive to it. If I want my kids to have social activity, a lot of it requires a play date. And being an introvert, I don't like putting things on the calendar where I have to interact with people. And if I show up meaning to meet up with someone, I'm going to have to talk to them. But here, I could put my head down at a cafe, order a beer where my kid plays 20 feet away. In fact, we witnessed this at a square the other day. We got there for dinner, it was full of kids teeming with life, and we gradually saw the demographics change until it was just older people at night enjoying the bar. And later on, I walked by one of these squares at 11 p.m. on a weekday, and it looked like this. Social capital, or the interconnected relationships society has, is built on chance encounters. Running into people in a moment, not having to plan every outing and get-together. And if your suburb neighborhood has this, this is great, but it's the exception, not the rule. And it's not enough to live in an urban environment. You can still be lonely there too. It has to be an environment built around humans connecting to other humans. Like even transit in this type of city is one in which you'll run into people. So yeah, right. There's a loneliness epidemic, but other places are doing better, and we could too.
Yo. What's, I think the crust of my major takeaway from this conversation is loneliness epidemic. And I Googled it. Yeah, there's an article in the show notes. America has a loneliness epidemic. Here are 6 steps to address it. Hey, B-Black, you live in Canada. Yeah, Canada has it too. The reason I recognize this loneliness epidemic, it's not just because I'm a single person on my own, but I recognize it because I stopped going to church. And I realized, I've always known how the church was a third place, especially for black people. God bless my dad. When I moved to the States, I had spent 2 years in the States. He encouraged me. He says, dude, find a church when you get there. And my dad is big on community. That's probably his blue. That's like it's engraved in his DNA, being part of a community. And what he was saying is, yeah, man, find a church, because you can find someone to help you out, accountants, a community, if you need extra resource, because you're not going to have your family, so go to a church. Anyway, I was thinking about how by not going to the church, I don't have a third place anymore. And I'm working on it. I'm kind of hoping this podcast can be a third place, but that's a long-term plan. That's long-term thinking. Also, what he was saying about loneliness epidemic, I thought it was just, my therapist brought that up. It says, she didn't use the word loneliness epidemic, but she was trying to explain how, yo, you're not the only one going through it. It's not everyone that wants to be in a relationship. And there are people who are not in a relationship feel that loneliness. Like, we've learned how to manage that loneliness. But some of us would like to be able to bond with other human beings that we have more in common with. I think I'm seeing an opportunity. I think that where all this is going is I might be seeing an opportunity. Shout out to both the Happy Urbanists and that NPR article about America's loneliness, because I'm starting to see something I might be able to, I don't know. I'm third place, this concept of a third place. Actually, I was telling my barber about this. My third place used to be my barbershop. I still go to the barbershop, but I remember my older barbershop, it felt like a third place because I was getting advice from my barber. The conversation were really a conversation that I could get into. Like, it felt like community-wise, even though we were just in there in and out for a haircut, but there would be conversations going on. And not just conversations, but relevant conversations. Now, when I go to the barbershop, I make an appointment, and I show up when there's no one there. Mainly because when they do have conversation, it's rarely anything that I'm interested in. Hold on a second. Let's see what that's about. Okay, yeah. And whatever. Yeah, third place. To be continued. To be continued. There's got to be a way to create a third place without it being religious or without... And also safe. Very important, safe. And motherfuckers are banned for having, for bringing up bad faith conversation. Yeah, man. If I create this, my own third place, you show up with bad faith conversation, you're getting your ass kicked. You mean kicked out? No, you're getting your ass kicked. Then maybe you get kicked out. And this concludes news and random thoughts. So, I'm starting to get a little gongu, a little hungry. Check out the other links. I have a whole bunch of other links. Anything I want to talk about? Danielle Sloss on how men can be allies to women. Yeah, that's worth checking out. Oh, Nicki Minaj's husband, Kenneth Petty, ordered to serve up to 120 days on a home detention for making terrorist threats towards Offset. You know what? Niggas, you know, I'm not going to talk about that one there. The article's there for your own reading pleasure. This is something I haven't read yet, but I need to, and it's called Coaching Versus Therapy. Do you need a coach, therapist, or both? I bring this up because I'm seeing a lot on TikTok. I'm getting a lot of advice. I'm getting a lot of advice from people who are selling their services as coach. And for me, the concept of coaching feels a little weird. Feels a little, yeah. And who knows? Who knows? Maybe that's what my journey is going to end up with. But I don't believe in coaching. To me, coaching feels a little weird, but, you know, information is power, so I'm just going to learn from it. Last is Artists Can Be Petty. Oh, that's some funny shit. By content creator, what's his name? Doesn't matter, right? And the last one is Londrel Solitude, a song called Solitude. It was deep. Who knows? Next episode might be based off that song, but we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. Anyways, let's jump to final thoughts and I'll let you get the fuck out of here. All right. Okay. Let's go. Woo. All right. What's up with today's title? Again, trying to figure out who my audience is. You know what? For the sake of conversation, my audience are, I'm going to pretend it's a bilingual audience, but for you English folks who's still sticking around, Enchanté, mes malheurs. I brought that up because I was thinking of, last episode, I was thinking about, holy shit, it's in relation to, did I not make notes? I kind of sort of made notes for this shit. What did I say? Finding pleasure. Yeah, so I'm trying to remember what I said on the last episode, but to translate for my English friends, Enchanté, mes malheurs is another way of saying finding pleasure in speaking about your misery. Well, it's actually the verse goes that already goes, car j'ai trouvé mon bonheur en chantant mes malheurs. Because I found, not pleasure, I found joy. I found, not just pleasure, I found le bonheur. Like, I found happiness. I found happiness on singing about my miseries. That's how I would translate it. And, singing the blues. Singing the blues. A part of me kind of wants to mix podcasting and poetry. And what I mean by that is I would like to articulate thoughts the same way poets, rappers do. And, for example, I'd like to be able to, when I talked about being able to speak about loneliness in a mature way, that's an example of. Like, if I wrote a song about being loneliness, you're tempted to process what I'm saying. But on a podcast, or in my experience, whenever I try to spark a conversation about loneliness, then some asshole will jump into, oh, well, you should get on dating sites, so you shouldn't be feeling lonely. Or, what are you, a bitch-ass nigga? What are you, you know, what are you, horny? You know, it's never mature, like, it's never a conversation. I guess it makes people feel uncomfortable, right? Anyway, so Okay, so on the last episode, I was talking about how I nearly titled the episode Old, Useless, and Cursed. And I was in response to the song or the idea of Young, Gifted, and Black. See, I can't preach about feeling young, gifted, and black, but I can't talk to you about feeling old, useless, and cursed. I'm not saying you got to linger in there, but I could, this podcast is all about preaching what I practice. And this idea of finding pleasure, finding happiness in speaking about my miseries, I think I'm coming up with a format for this podcast. The idea, if I talk about my misery, it's not meant to depress you. It's meant to make some people connect to saying, yes, I'm there. I can relate to that. All right. I was thinking, so was it Friday or Thursday? I had a conversation with a close relative of mine that I hadn't seen and hadn't talked to in a while. And I realized, as much as I love this relative, I found myself realizing that as much as this particular relative I happen to feel is probably the most open with. Out of all my relatives, she's on the list of people I feel more open with. But with that said, I still found myself censoring myself as I'm speaking to her. And I had a moment, actually it's only after the conversation, I like to analyze these things, that I realized that I have this habit when speaking to people, especially my relatives, especially the religious or anyone from their church or from the religious community, I have this habit that I've been doing it since childhood. I've been perfecting it since childhood of telling you what I believe you want to hear versus what I want to say. This is why I don't have any hosts at the moment, any co-hosts on this podcast. It's because I'm trying to get into the habit of focusing on what I want to say as opposed to what you want to hear or what the person next to me wants to hear. I was thinking of that princess in Coming to America. hold on, let me see if I can bring up the scene and not get in trouble. Oh my god. J'ai trouvé le bonheur en chantant mes malheurs. As I Google this, Coming to America. I was thinking, okay, princess. Hakim meets the princess for the first time. Hakim, princess. I can't find it. Maybe. I see you're getting along. Okay, if you see Coming to America, I gotta play it for my own. Oh, Imani Izzy. Okay, you know what? I'm not gonna play the whole thing.
Pardon me.
Pause. Okay, hold on. Let me see if I can get to the scene that I'm talking about. Why? Because it's my podcast. Oh, there we go. All right, here we go. It's funny, first time I saw this movie, I didn't understand this scene and how powerful. Eddie Murphy might be a comedian, but
So.
Here we go.
Am I not all you dreamed I would be?
Oh, you're fine. Oh. Beautiful. It's just that if we're going to be married, I thought we should talk to each other, get to know each other.
Ever since I was born, I've been trained to serve you.
Right.
Yes, I know this.
I know this.
But I would like to know about you. What do you like to do?
Whatever you like.
Whatever you like.
What kind of music do you like?
Whatever kind of music you like.
Okay, that's it. I'm going to dedicate this final thoughts to everyone who are an adult and figuring out who they are, because they spent their time, most of their childhood being everything everyone else wanting them to be. I don't like admitting this out loud. I swear I don't. But it turns out there's a portion of us that if you ask us who you, the biggest mystery that we're trying to solve in our current, in this current moment is who we are. And the reason we don't know who we are is because we've been spending, we grew up in an environment that didn't, how do I say this? Because I don't want to, I guess I'm trying not to place blame, but it is what it is, right? But we didn't grow up in an environment that fostered self-development. Like, you grew up with Christians. They ain't trying to hear shit about, you don't believe in Jesus. What? Like, the whole religion is, nothing about the fucking religion, or at least that I've seen, nothing about the fucking religion seems to embrace self-expression. No. In order to be Christian, you gotta fit within these guardrails. You gotta fit within, you gotta be within this mold. And it's something that I've always resented out of Christianity, because I've always felt like, I can't meet this criteria. Same goes for, oh my God, I feel the need to play this clip. Same goes for being a man. This is why I've referred to masculinity as a cult, and how I'm an ex-member of the cult trying to break out of the cult. And I should bring this up, that I saw the movie Barbie, and great movie, and great movie, but I had to look it up. I didn't mind, you know, I appreciate this, but I could tell there was a lot of meanings that I was missing, so I had to Google it to, you know, Barbie explained, and the philosophical questioning, some of the thoughts that were expressed in there. The concept of Ken and who's the other character, the other male character, and how Ken wasn't the hero, how patriarchy encourages men to be like Ken as opposed to the other male character who was like, I'm trying to regurgitate a TikTok clip that I just watched, where this lady, she broke down the concept of Barbie, and she was explaining Kent and the other male character, and how Kent is a product of patriarchy, and part of being patriarchy is, yeah, fuck who you are, don't be your true self. Sure, we'll tell you, you know, when you meet a woman, be yourself, but what we really mean is, be this version of a man. Fuck being yourself. Be a real man. Anyway, yeah. So I grew up with this notion that didn't really encourage being your true self. This is why in the last episode I talked about how I grew up with this notion of, or this engraved in my mind of, the best thing you can offer to this world is your silence, is an invisibility. Because I've always felt like the world, in order to, it was up to you to fit in this world. And I'm an analyzer. I'm constantly observing. And I'm realizing that, okay, whatever this world wants me to be, I can't be. Which is why I resort to being silent and invisible. Anyways, so I forgot where I was going with this. Oh, right, I feel like that princess from Coming to America. Which finally brings this, coming back to the theme of Chantal Mes Malheurs. Someone on Reddit, it got deleted, the comment got deleted, but the question still resides, still is up there in the Ask Men Over 30, and it goes, how do you deal with the realization that ultimately nothing you do in life matters? What's interesting about that question is, well, I'm going to leave that question for you to answer for yourself. But what I can tell you is that's a very frequent topic of conversation between me and my therapist. Now, I'm not going to jump into, I'm not going to preach about how, no, there's, of course, life matters. What I am going to say is, what I am willing to admit is that the thought that nothing I do in life matters is an empowering thought. I've learned that it's if I hold on to that belief, if you're one of those people who are like, no, that's bullshit. Don't do it. Don't kill yourself. You know, it's because I feel there's more power to gain from believing that nothing I do matters than the opposite. That you matter. Until I could get out of that feeling that, oh no, it's more empowering to believe that nothing matters. Until I could get out of it, then ain't shit you can tell me about the opposite. All the quotes in the world won't help me, because at the moment, I choose to believe that nothing I do in the grand scheme of things, including this fucking podcast, matters. Maybe that's the cure. Maybe at some point I will, if I do change, it's because I found the opposite, the alternate thought, alternate to that belief that nothing matters, more empowering. Anyway, so yeah, I don't have any answers for that, but that goes along to Chantal Mes Malheurs. It's kind of like I'm trying to say that, yes, I do have miseries, but some of these miseries, I hold on to them because I find I'm gaining strength. I find more benefit into holding on to them than I do into letting go. Does that make sense? You know what? Holler at me if what I said makes sense. The rest of you, please don't. I mean, you're going to do what you're going to do, but I'm saying that's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to reach out a community that I can build from there, or learn from, or what's your experience in, have you ever been in a point, have you ever gone through life, had a moment in your life where you found yourself believing that nothing matters, and now you grew out of it? And if you did, what happened? I want to hear that story, because that could be empowering. That's the kind of shit that would make you a, if you wanted to, that would make you a motivational speaker. I think the last point I'm just going to say is that, yeah, you know, there was a part of me that wanted to be a motivational speaker, but I refuse to be a motivational speaker who preaches about shit that he doesn't practice. Maybe it's because of my experience in growing up in the church and being used to being preached at by motherfuckers who are uninspired, and you knew they were full of shit. Like they would talk to you about, yeah, you need to get married, and you knew that they had a whole bunch of side chicks, or about donating and how they would steal. Like, I'm used on being preached at by hypocrites, and I refuse. I would prefer not to be one of those hypocrites. So at the moment, until further notice, that's what I'm about. Chante mes malheurs. Je chante mes malheurs. And my intention is not, if I talk about my miseries, it's not, my intention is not to depress you. My intention is more to understand it. With that said, this concludes today's episode of Chante Podcast. As usual, if you want to holler at me, you can find me on these Twitter streets, on the streets of Twitter, until Elon Musk decides to run it to the ground, at B Blizzak or at Shut Up Podcast. You can also find me on these TikTok streaks at B.Black. Website is shutuppodcast.com, where apparently 18% of all podcast listeners go to. Yeah, shutuppodcast.com is the website. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the webpage, on the main webpage, or go to Google, Apple, and Amazon Podcasts. Hold on a second. Let me check this out. Let me go back to that statistic. Yeah, Amazon is up on that list. Good for me. You know, fuck that. Fuck the article. You can read it yourself. Yo, as always, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcasts.